The title of my talk to you today is The Plan. We're all living a plan. The question is it your plan or is it God's? The God plan is so much better. How many have almost know it by heart, and I do too, but I don't trust myself Jeremiah 29:11. How many love that one? Jeremiah 29:11 says, and this is the NLT, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord." Aren't you glad God's got plans? "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster." I don't like disaster. Do you like disaster? "To give you hope, future and a hope." Did we get that up there? Yep. Let's say that with me now. I want you to say this with me, okay? "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." Yes, thank you, Jesus. We just got done singing Power in the Blood. Listen, if you've never experienced power in the blood, today's the day. If you found that your passions and your desires are leading you to bad places, today's the day. We get it right. Are you ready for that? I hope so, because I want to join you in that journey. Next week, I'll be 68 years old, and so I've had some life perspective. I used to be one of the youngest men in the room. Now I'm one of the oldest. And I told someone the other day, I says, "I'm going to keep working until I can't brush my teeth." Somebody's got to brush my teeth, and I'm probably going to say, okay, better slow down. So can I share a little bit of my own journey? I grew up in a Christian home, accepted Jesus Christ as a Savior at 5 years old, and it stuck. A five-year-old, you see that little boy that was running around here? He's ordained by Jesus to be a Jesus man. And sometimes we need to be like that little boy that was running across. We need to just have the joy of the Lord and just in His presence and uninhibited and just unrestricted. And we want to be so refined because we might make a fool of ourselves. Well, you're a fool without Jesus anyway. So you might as well be a fool for Jesus. You know what I'm saying? Well, so, you know, I grew up where a lot of sermons were about pursuing a full-time ministry in your life. In fact, you were made to feel like if you didn't become a pastor or missionary, somehow you backslid. I went to a Bible school, and they would preach literally from the pulpit. If you go to this school for 4 years and end up selling insurance, you got off track. I'm here to tell you I don't believe that. That's not the truth. We're all called to serve God full-time. For some of us, it's behind a pulpit. But if you're not called behind a pulpit, you're called to come alongside one. Pastor Mill, I love this brother. And let me tell you something. I have a tremendous sense of connection to this church. I walk in and I just feel like there's something. I travel all over the world, but this place is special for many reasons. My brother-in-law was a youth pastor here when Sarah Palin was in the youth group. And my brother-in-law and his brother, my other brother-in-law, and my father-in-law helped build this place. The places that have fallen apart were probably what they did. But anyway, that we've had to repair since then. But I wanted to, who doesn't want, do you want to live for Jesus, folks? Do you want to serve Jesus? That's why we're here, to encourage and build each other up. Well, I wanted to serve Jesus. I wanted to give Him everything I had. And I've always felt a call to preach, but I never knew what that meant. So I went to Bible school, and they said, you got to fast and pray and seek God's will, because you don't want to be out of God's will. Do you want to be out of God's will? I don't, because I've been down that path, and it ain't fun. And you got to fast and pray and seek God's will. So I was fasting and praying. I hate fasting, by the way. But sometimes our physical hunger needs to take second place to the God hunger. And that's why fasting, I think, is so valuable, because when we put away our worldly hungers and pursue a godly hunger, good things happen. So anyway, for 2 years, I heard nothing. I don't think it's because God wasn't talking. I just wasn't listening. You ever have these one-sided conversations with God? I spent 2 years, and God, if you want me to do this, then help this to happen, you know, all that stuff. So anyway, long story short, I literally got to the point where I got really discouraged. All of a sudden, I felt like maybe God's rejecting me for his highest calling. And probably the closest I ever came to giving up my faith, believe it or not, was in Bible school. You can be anywhere. You can be in this church and be discouraged. If you came discouraged, you're going to leave here encouraged. And so finally, I just shut up. The Bible says, be still and know that I am God. And sometimes he has to speak to me in the middle of the night, just like he did last night about a couple things I'm going to share with you. From a dead sleep, he wakes me up and he speaks to me because sometimes I'm too busy to hear his voice. And as I was quiet before God, I heard him say, Randy, don't seek my will. I said, God, this is just some crazy thought I have. He said, no, it's me. You know, when you hear the voice of God, it's pretty amazing. And this is a church that can help you hear the voice of God. That's what church is about. And I'm sorry, I know we have online people, but Bill can clean up the mess, but get your butt in church, you know, because together, we encourage each other and build each other up. Stop this online stuff. I'd shut it off. If you want to experience God, then get your butt in. I'm sorry, Pastor JD did say I'm a little organic. Get your backside in church. Because we help each other. If you want to learn how to hunt and fish, somebody's got to mentor you. If you want to learn how to hear the voice of God, we're here for you to experience that. God said, hey, I'm a big God. I don't need your help. I need your heart. Don't seek my will. Seek me. Seek me. I'll take care of the rest. He promised me that if I would seek him first, he'd take care of the rest. And so I'm going to read to you from Matthew. And it's a little bit of a lengthy verse, but what I like about the Bible, when I'm reading the Bible, there's no error in it. When it's me talking, there could be possible that I would have my own little tweak on things, you know? Matthew 6, starting with 19. Don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them and where thieves break in and steal. Don't we spend a lot of our life pursuing things that someday are going to be gone? Store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light within you, and if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. There's another scripture that says, the love of money is the root of all evil. Now let me be clear. God does not mean for you to live in poverty. Doesn't mean for you not to have things, not to have money, not to have resources, but the love of it. And it's so easy to fall in love with stuff, isn't it? So easy to fall in love with what is in our retirement account or worry about what isn't in our retirement account. You know, here's the deal, folks. You could have everything paid off and millions in your retirement account, but if the world goes crazy, which it could, and the American dollar is worth nothing, then what do you have? You have Jesus, who will never leave you or forsake you. This is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Whatever you whether you have enough food or drink or enough clothes to wear, isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They do not plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Can I be transparent? I worry a lot. It's a struggle. Isn't it easy to worry about things? But the perfect love of Jesus and a heart focused on Christ helps us with those unnecessary worries. And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work to make their clothing. Yet Solomon, one of the wealthiest people who's ever lived, in all his glory, is not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. And this is one of my life verses. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. Live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. It's one thing to say we believe the Bible. It's another thing to say, I'm going to live the Bible. Are you ready to live the Bible? So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. See, God has designed us to live one day at a time. How many heard the old song, one day at a time, sweet Jesus? That's the way we're meant to live. Doesn't mean we don't have plans. Doesn't mean we don't try to save for retirement. Doesn't mean we don't aren't good stewards of what God gives us, but we seek God first. Well, God told me if I sought him and pursued him in my relationship with him, he would take care of the details. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, this is another life verse. And man, sometimes I've had to cling to it. How many of you ever had, you're in a bad spot and you're just literally got a death grip on scripture? I've been there. And it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Here's what I found, folks. When I seek God first, I'm never out of his will. I may not like the path, but God's got a plan. And I have to submit my will to his will, because his ways are higher than my ways. And there's been times in my life I'm flat out mad at God. I'm just transparent. I don't like the way God works. I just wish you'd do it my way. Don't you just wish God would do it your way once in a while? But sometimes I get in my way and I say, oh, I don't like that. Listen, I've had a lot of success in business. And I'm humbled by it because I pray for God's wisdom every day, James 1:5, because I'm way over my head. But God has helped me. He does. It says, don't doubt. And it does it say he'll give you a little or a lot of wisdom? You see, God wants us to live beyond ourselves, beyond our own ability. As Christians, we have the wisdom of God. And God helps us, and he delivers us. But I did have a major business failure, which I won't get into the details, but I look back now and I can see that my motives, what I was trying to accomplish, wasn't in line with the heart of God. And I lost almost everything because I wasn't on the God plan. Now, I'm not saying sometimes on the God plan we will, in this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I've overcome the world. I will tell you, even when you're on the God plan, sometimes that plan brings us through deep waters. Because once again, we learn to trust him. I learned more in my failure than all my success. I learned I can trust God again. I learned that in spite of insurmountable odds and millions of dollars worth of personal guarantees that I didn't run from, he was there and delivered me and helped me. I didn't have to run from anything. I ran to him and he helped me take care of the problems. And I can tell you today, he's a good God. He's an amazing God. And in our brokenness, he reveals his amazing, unbelievable grace and mercy. And we can do this, folks. You know, I don't want to live so afraid I don't live. How many have met those people? Right? Live in fear, and we're so afraid of failure. I do a business seminar sometimes called Number One Key to Success. This is scientific, by the way, and studied. You know what the number one, the most successful people in the world, you know what their number one factor is? They fail more often. And God told me it's not about perfection, it's about progress. And I'm a perfectionist by nature. I want things to go perfect. But in this world, they almost never do. So with God's help, I'm not perfect, but I'm making progress. Thank you, Jesus. Psalms 37. Boy, I like Psalms because it's written by a guy, David, most of them. And David, he's described as a man after God's own heart, but yet he failed too, you know? Pretty bad at times. But Psalms 37, 23 and 24 says, "The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by the hand." Aren't you glad that we can have, you know what I can't understand? I know there's a God. My mind can't comprehend how he has time for me, how he can care for every detail of my life. But that's the step of faith. And when we live that step, it's amazing. Now I can look back at my life and I can see the hand of God. And I can see how these broken moments would later become magnificent outcomes. One of my, if I'm not careful, I'd probably preach every sermon from Ephesians. I love Ephesians. Encourage all of you to read it. Because it really tells the story of God's love for us, in spite of us. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 says, "Even before he made the world, he loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ." Before he made the world, he planned for you. You're not here by some freak of nature. You're not here by some happenstance. You're not. God planned for you. Your parents had a little involvement. But God planned for you. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear son. He's so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom. We're all slaves. I appreciate that what we're doing with the slavery in Pakistan, but worse than that is the slavery of sin. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave our sins. He has showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. God has now revealed to us his mysterious will regarding Christ, which is to fulfill his good plan. I want that good plan. I want to give up my plan and I want to experience that good plan. And this is the plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan. With all my heart, I want to live that plan. I don't want me to get in the way of that. And I do sometimes. And that's why it's so important to search our hearts and to pursue God every day. And I gave my life to Jesus in 1956 or whatever, or 67 or whatever it is you gave your life to Jesus. It's a daily, as the Bible says, dying to self. But here's what happens when you do the God plan. This kind of scares me, but it also makes me excited. Ephesians 2 verse 10 says, "We are God's masterpiece. I make a mess. God makes a..." Let me hear it. God wants to make a masterpiece of you and me. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we could do the good things He planned for us long ago. Doesn't take me very long if I'm having a day and I didn't start it by reading my Bible and having God search my heart and really dialing in with God. You know, if you really want to make God first, then it should show up in your life. If you don't have time with God and reading His Word, if you don't have time to get together with brothers and sisters who will encourage you in your walk with God, you're going to head down a bad path. But God takes our mess and He makes a masterpiece. I want more and more of my, you know, I have to tell you that there's times in my life I had the mess, not the masterpiece. The older I get, the more I realize life's short. And there's almost more of a sense of intensity and in focus. Let me tell you, good things come hard, bad things come easy, and you have time for what you prioritize. It's not like we're going to sit on a stump and wait for the rapture, but we pursue God with all of our heart. And then Colossians 3, and this is a free one, says, Colossians 3 says, whatever you do, do with all your heart as unto the Lord. Whatever God puts in front of you, give it everything you got. And then see what happens. And that's what I want to do. You know, every day is a gift, folks. Every day is a gift of 24 hours, and I spoke on that several years ago. How are you going to spend those 24 hours? Let's let God make a masterpiece. And then here's the one that really challenges me. Can I tell you, I'm still struggling with having the faith for this. Ephesians 3:20. And this is kind of one of those verses that just keeps, it just keeps grabbing my heart. It grabs my mind. It says, now all glory to God who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish. What does it say? Do you have it back there? I don't know where that came from. Anyway, I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. No. Okay. This is, anyway, there's, every translation has, this is the NLT, and it says, now all glory to God who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely. Infinitely? More than I can imagine or think. Infinitely? I know my shortcomings. Sometimes my wife will remind me about some of the things that drive her a little crazy, you know? And I said, baby, I get it. I'm kind of painfully aware of that. Right now, could you think of something good? Because I can't. Infinitely more, folks. Do you have the faith to believe for infinitely more? With God's power at work within us, that we can accomplish infinitely more than we could imagine or think. Oh, Jesus, help me to truly trust you for that. Many times I've held God back because I didn't have the faith that he could do that. Infinitely more than I can imagine or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Forever and ever. You know, I think the saddest thing in heaven is going to be when we get to heaven and Jesus greets us and he says, now let me show you what I wanted to do. But you didn't have the faith to do. Many years ago, God woke me in the middle of the night and he said, Randy, if you're not trying to do something bigger than you, I'm not in it. And I said, well, God, no one's accusing me of being a small thinker. I've already started, you know, multi-million dollar business and I'm involved with the church and leadership and you know, supporting missionaries and your work all around the world. And no one would accuse me of thinking small. And he said something that to this day scares me. He says, yeah, but you keep doing what you know you can do. And I want you to do what you know you can't do. Because then you're going to need me. Now, he's not asking us to do stupid, okay? But when he puts something in front of us and we got that check, oh, I don't think I can do that. Because my past was this. Or because I'm too old. Or because I don't have any capacity for that. Or because I've never done that before. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Do it. Do it. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And guess what? If you're not meant to do it, he'll close the door anyway. When the door opens, will you walk through? You see, and here's the deal, folks. I find that my faith grows, and even the work that I see God doing me when I engage it. It's good to come to church where we can get built up and encouraged and sometimes admonished. See, the best sermons don't make me feel good. I hate seeker-sensitive messages. I'm not into seeker-sensitive, but I want to be challenged. I don't want to be browbeat, or I'm not here to thump anybody because I'm walking the same journey. But I want to be encouraged. I want to that I can be a better man for Jesus. I want to be a better man for Jesus. I stared at Carol's bed and breakfast, and you know, she's been through some things in her life. But she's a Jesus girl. She's a Jesus girl. I want to be a Jesus man that says, I'm going to do it because I can't, but God can. So I've heard this many times from, you know, like in Bible schools and things where I've been on the board. This is called the Ephesians fivefold in the biblical sense of theological seminaries. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. So the question is, which one has God called you to? Well, maybe none of them. Because it goes on to say, their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and to build up the church, the body of Christ. You see, we're the worker bees. You're not going to grow in your faith until you engage it. Is your life impacting others for Christ? The cup of cold water. Who are you? God answers. God told me many years ago, Randy, I answer prayers through people. Are you willing to be a conduit for the answer to others' people's prayers? You know what I find? I'm most alive when it's not about me. It's love God. Serve others. And I want you to know, when you come into a church, my philosophy is, if I'm not called behind a pulpit, I'm called to come alongside. I'm an ordained minister now because I want to come under authority, because I preach to thousands of men every year. But I see my pastor and pastors in my life as spiritual authorities. They're not the final authority, but they can speak into my life. I also know this, when God calls a man to pastor a church, he gives him the vision, not me or you. And so I say to my pastor, Pastor, what's the vision? I'm reporting for duty. If you want to really come alive in your faith, if you want to experience that you are God's masterpiece, if you want to experience that God can do infinitely more than you can imagine or think, get the lead out. Get the laziness out. I don't care how old you are. If you're breathing, there's a reason. Don't waste your life on the trappings of this world, but be engaged in the forever eternal values that God brings. I'm here for one reason. I'm grateful that God can use me. And if he can use me, I promise you, he can use you. The question is, you're on a plan. Whose? Whose plan? And before, you know, sometimes we think we're on God's plan, but then we find out we're kind of doing our own thing. And sometimes I'm kind of charging, I'm kind of a take action, get it done, make. There are those who watch things happen, there are those who hope things happen, and there are those who make things happen. And I'm a make things happen guy. And then sometimes I say, God, are you with me? Thank God for his grace and mercy. But in your humanness, in your sin nature, and in your brokenness, let's bring it to the cross. Let's surround ourselves, as Proverbs says, iron sharpening iron. Let's encourage each other. Let's build each other up. And if somebody shares vulnerably with us something they're struggling with, don't you dare gossip that. Or I'm going to pray you get leprosy. Let's be faithful friends, because I have to tell you, I've got battle buddies in my life. Because I don't trust me without Jesus. And sometimes it takes me and Jesus and a couple of battle buddies to help me work through some things. Don't you dare do this walk alone. Don't you dare do this life alone. Don't you dare pursue God just by yourself. Together we can build and encourage each other up. Am I hitting you hard enough? James 5:16. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Now, I'm not saying you go confess what you're struggling with to just anybody. It's why we have church elders, and that's why we have people that are proven to be mature spiritually, okay? But you need to find the battle buddies in your life. Confess your sins one to another and build each other up. And then I want my prayers. I pray over my family. I say, God, take anything out of there that doesn't belong, because I want my prayers to be effective and powerful. So, folks, I beg and I plead. Whatever Mitch and the worship team can come up, we're gonna get it right. And you know, the amazing thing is Jesus literally walked in this earth, and thousands of people were witness to his ministry and saw the miracles. But most people didn't follow him because they were pursuing their own plan, their own desires. The Bible is full of examples who pursued their plan rather than God's plan. It starts with Adam and Eve. Don't you wish Adam and Eve would have stayed on the God plan? How about Jonah? He didn't want to do God's plan. He wanted just to strike them all dead. Let me tell you, when you don't follow the God plan, you end up in stinky places. I've been there. I want to follow the God plan. Even the disciples struggled because Jesus didn't fit their Messiah. He was crucified because Jesus didn't fit their view of what a Messiah was. Are you ready to accept the Messiah that God intended? Are you ready to accept the plan that God intends? So I just want to encourage you, as we start to worship, I want you to come up here. And almost every one of us needs something to check at this altar, okay? Something. Do you want the God plan or you want your plan? Are you tired of your plan? Or are you tired of half time it's God's plan and the other half of the time it's your plan? How's that working for you? And I don't stand here to condemn you. I stand here to admit I'm in that same journey. Every day I plead with God. My message Friday night to the men was, stop the stupid. We just do stupid things. Don't we? I'm tired of stupid. I have had great potential for stupid since I was a kid. Lucky to be alive. But the closer I walk with God, the less stupid things I do. And the more I experience that I'm his masterpiece, not the mess. So I can't make you do anything. But if you really get dialed in with God and his plan, you get plugged into a church, and you don't just sit in a pew, which is good. But then what do you do when you leave this church? Whose life are you touching? What miraculous thing is God allowing you? You know, in Pakistan, there's miracles happening. But there's miracles happening right here. And they'll happen today if you'll let it, if you do the God plan. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ, experienced the power and the blood, wow, guess what? Let's do it. All right, well, stand to your feet. Let's worship. And then, you know what? If you need somebody to pray with you, we're here for you. And if you have some friends that you trust to share your heart with, but let's, you know what? I'm not, again, This is where life changes. Right here at these altars. And you know why I believe in coming to the altar? Because I think we need to take those steps of faith. Why do we have water baptism? Because it's an outward sign that we are now immersing our whole, we're giving our whole life to Him. Why, when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, do we speak in other languages? Because it's an indication He's got control of all of us. The most unruly member of our body is our tongue. When I was filled with the Holy Spirit as a 13-year-old, I was saved before then, but I felt the power. And if you've never been filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, which is a total giving up your will, giving up your desires to be replaced with His. So let's sing and let's get some things right today at this altar.
Thank you for joining us today. We look forward to connecting with you next time. And don't forget, you can support us by giving through the Church Center app or by going online at summitwc.com/give.